describe your thoughts and feelings in that when you saw Justin go down in the third quarter and not get up immediately.
Yeah, I was kind of numb at that point, I think, you know, and just trying to figure out what we're going to do if he wasn't able to play for the rest of the game, and trying to come up with solutions to the issue. And then, you know, went up to him and kind of asked him what he thought, and he looked up and said, just put a brace on it, I'll be fine. You know, it just blew me away, you know, after looking at the shot he took and how tough he was, and then come back to make a play like that was one of the coolest things I've been a part of.
Right behind him, Art, second row.
Hey, Ryan, I know this is your first go-around through this whole thing, but the month of December is kind of a hectic time because if you're presumably in the playoff, you're playing a game on the 28th, and early signing period is like 10 days before that. I'm wondering, does having a full class right now give you any advantage over some of the other teams you might be facing just because the class is basically full? And how do you plan to manage your time as a first-year head coach, because this is a very intense month for just your future and, of course, the games you're playing?
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of years we've had the same issue, so been a part of that and seen, you know, what the blueprint is for that. But it certainly is a challenge because we have so many mid-year guys coming in, and we only have 1 week out on the road, really only 4 days. So it's gonna be a bear. Try to get out there and see everybody and get all that done. So you know, Mark's working hard on it. We're trying to get all the plans together to make sure we maximize all the time, because there's also, you know, some other events going on during that week. So you know, it'll be a race.
What is the blueprint?
Well, just the fact that, you know, you have to, that first week, make sure you do a good job getting out there and recruiting, and then figuring out you know, what bowl game you're in, and then managing your time and organizing the practices so that you're ready to roll.
And there's a situation where, depending on how things shake out on Sunday, they're going to ask you and your higher-ups about, like, where you prefer. Does recruiting ever come into what site you prefer in terms of destination-wise? Does recruiting ever play a part in that in terms of prospects you want, prospects you need?
Right. I honestly don't even have time right now to think about any of that. It's all about trying to win this game, and then you know, once if we get to that point, we'll kind of cross that bridge as we get there. And that's, you know, a good question for the administration and Gene right now, because it's just trying to get a first down against, you know, Wisconsin right now.
Front row middle,
Dave. Ryan, kind of going off of Mitch's question, that Justin Fields is such a good runner, but you obviously cannot afford to lose him. Just how difficult of a balance is that to walk as a play caller?
I mean, you do everything you can to be successful. You know that you have to win games, and it's a must, and so you do the things that put your guys in the best position to be successful schematically, and but then you also understand that there's risk to it, and you try to do the best you can to risk reward it. You know, it's good to know that he's so tough and he can handle that stuff, but there's certainly risk that comes with it.
I'll ask about Jonathan Cooper as well. I know the plan is for him to redshirt, but if you guys happen to get banged up at defensive end, let's say you're in a national semifinal game in the playoffs or a national championship game, might you use him, and would it be his call? Just what might occur there? Could the plan change?
The plan won't change, no. If left up to him, he probably would, because he's so competitive and he loves his teammates, but that's something that, you know, the coaches have to get in front of and make sure that, no, we don't do that. You know, he deserves to play a full senior year, and I know he wants to, and he was conflicted on what to do in this situation, but you know, we think it's the best thing to just hold tight and give him another year.
Coach, you look at Wisconsin. I mean, you hear people say it's hard to beat a team twice in the same year. You buy into that, and what do you see when you look at them? How much tougher will it be this time around?
Yeah, it'll be really tough. You know, it is. It's you know, and so much of the is the situation and when you played them and everything like that, but this is a very, very well-coached team, and Coach Chris, I think, is one of the best coaches not only in the conference but in the country. And you look at what he's done and how many times he's been to this game, and the staff, they do a great job, and they're very, very well-coached, and I think they've gotten better as the season's going on. So, yeah, it's going to be a big challenge, and it's going to be hard. It's going to go all the way to the fourth quarter, and so we need to have a great week of practice here.
Weather was a factor the first time. And, you know, in December, anything can happen. You're going to be indoors. You welcome that.
Yeah, I mean, the situation is the same for both sides. It was in the first game. It will be in the second game. I will say that it's nice to be playing indoors, though, after the last 4 weeks of kind of tough weather. But yeah, it'll be the same for both sides. So I don't think there's an advantage on either end.
After what you said to me before you got on the bus the other day, and just sort of going through that experience in that game, do you feel, I know the pressure never relents, but do you feel lighter I mean, was a weight lifted off of your shoulders after winning that game? You said, we had to win. We had to win.
Yeah, I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You know, people say, what if you don't win the game? You know, there's no choice. You have to win the game. You don't have a choice when you're a Buckeye. You have to win that game. And so, yeah, there's a lot that came with that. And after that game, there was a sigh of relief, but that didn't last long. You know, once we crossed the border back into Ohio, it was on to the next game, and that's got to be the focus here. And so the message has been to the team that, you know, the end of the first race is coming on Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and we have to accelerate through that finish line. And as much as these games have been emotional, and they've been emotional wins, and they've been big wins, they don't mean anything if we don't win this game. And that's what's great about playing like this in this format. You know, the games get bigger as the season goes on, and we got to do a great job preparing again this week.
Prepper, all right. Austin?
Ryan, Chase has a couple times mentioned frustration with plays where he feels like he's getting held a lot. Have you guys at any time sent tape in to the Big Ten to review the way he's being blocked at times?
Yeah, we do that as kind of a regular basis, to send things in and, you know, get some back and forth with Bill Carroll and the staff there. And, sometimes we agree on things, sometimes we don't. But, it's kind of part of the game, the back and forth there. And I thought they did a good job with some of the things they did schematically. And, you kind of go back and forth with it. But I think the referees do a good job. And, they can't catch them all. And they're honest. And there's great feedback there. And I think they're very professional in how they go about their business.
And so Chase has been upfront as well that all he wants is the team to win. I know you guys would like to have him get more sacks. When he goes through a game like Saturday and he doesn't have one, does that surprise the coaching staff? Did you guys still see the impact you wanted on tape? What did you think about him Saturday?
Yeah, no, I thought he played good. I thought they did a good job on some of the things they did. Later on, when things changed up a little bit, he got a great hurry on Patterson. Really had an impact on the second half, in my opinion. I mean, he took a shot right there, and those add up over time. And again, his presence matters. So although sometimes maybe it doesn't mean he's getting sacks or TFLs, when, you know, two or three guys, you know, get the attention of him, that opens up things for other guys. And so, you know, Coop getting a sack, and that max protection where the whole line was sliding his way. I mean, that's part of the impact that Chase has on the game.
Third row, right, Rob?
You said you have to win them all, but there's talk out there today that you don't have to win Saturday and make the playoff. There seems to be that kind of speculation going on. Your response to that? And then secondly, I think you've said this before, some variation of this. Are you a big believer in conference champs should make it or not? Or is that in an expanded playoff or with four?
All I know is we have to go win this game, you know, for a lot of reasons. And the Big Ten championship game is one of our goals year in and year out. And so that's just the focus. And starting to, again, for me to speculate on all those things at this point right now doesn't really matter. You know, I know we got a great team, and we just have to win this weekend, and then everything will take care of itself if we do that and focus on that. Because the other speculation or talk or what if scenarios for us, for me, doesn't do us any good right now. So again, just focus on that finish line.
So really, winning the conference is that a requirement? You think should be for you, or?
I mean, for this team right now, it is. Yeah.
Second row, right, Tony.
Right. After the Michigan game, after the win, did you feel more relief or happiness?
Relief. Yeah, it wasn't even close. I didn't know what I would feel, but it was absolutely relief, yeah. To say that I didn't internalize a lot of emotions that week and leading up to that game would not be accurate. A lot went into that. And it's not just me. It's my family. It's the staff. It's this team. There's just so much that goes into that. And Jeff Hafley, he said to me the next morning, he said, imagine walking in the Woody with all the signage that's up on the walls and not winning that game and having to walk by it for 365 days and not winning that game. I said, I know. I don't even know what that'd be like. And so, yeah, there's so much that goes into that. We play it year round. And so to get that win the way we did means a lot.
And then you mentioned you've played opponents twice in the NFL. What kind of insight, or does that give you an advantage, or does it almost hamper you because you have so much information?
I think it's how you handle it and finding that right balance of wrinkles, but then also the things that our guys can play well, and so they can play with a clear mind. Because in the end, games like this, it comes down to players, again, you know, not plays, but at the same, you also don't want to get out schemed, and so giving them a good clean plan with enough wrinkles is critical.
Front row right, Bill.
It was 1 year ago tomorrow that you were named head coach. Your hair has not turned gray, as far as I can see. Can you reflect on what this year has been like for you? The season's gone great, but what's it been like for you?
Again, I mentioned this early on. I really didn't want to reflect on this until we get through that finish line, because I just don't think that that's the right thing to do at this point right now. I'm looking forward to reflecting on it and everything that's gone on this year, but I don't think now's the time. I just really want to, you know, get this team ready and get the coaching staff ready to go win this game.
And Ohio State can win an outright Big Ten championship for the third straight year. It's the first time it's happened. A lot of shared. But what would that mean to the program to do this 3 years in a row?
I think it'd be huge. And you know, to go in this thing undefeated would say a lot about our team. And, you know, the last couple of years, you know, there's been that trip up along the way. And then, you know, we had to rally to go win that. I thought that said a lot about the character of the programs both the last 2 years. This one's a little bit different, and you know, now it's more about this: can we sustain this level of play throughout this regular season and now into this championship season? So that's the challenge, and that's something that we've been focused on week in and week out. And now here we go. You know, this is you know, head towards that finish line, the last home stretch, and then after we get done with that, we come up for air and figure out what's next. But all our eyes are on that finish line.
Second row, middle, Stephen.
Coach, unrealizably beating the team twice. When you beat the team pretty convincingly the last time you played them, so like, why would it be tougher, I guess, the second time around when you beat the team convincingly to beat them a second time?
Well, they kicked our tails the first half on offense. I thought defense played good, but you know, we didn't do very good on offense. So it was a close game, and it was 10-7, right, at one point in the third, and they blocked a punt. And I mean, that's a good team. So. You know, we kind of pulled away there at the end, but that was a tough game, and we know it's going to be the same way. And they've done some different things here, and they've made adjustments, and they've adapted as the season's gone on. So this is going to be a tough game now.
Third row left, Dan.
Ryan, it's the time of a year where coaching jobs around the country start to open up, and there's a lot of speculation about who could be candidates for what. Just asking hypothetically, if one of your coaches were to come with you with an opportunity they would be interested in right now, how do you handle that in terms of balancing this focus you're trying to keep on the Big Ten championship and allowing those guys to pursue those things?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you know, one of the reasons that you come here is to be a part of this special family, but it also opens up opportunities for you down the road, and I think that that's healthy, and it's good for families, and I support that. And so, you know, the one thing I'd ask is, you know, to those guys, if that situation were to come up, is just make sure we finish through this finish line first. You know, we've made a commitment to these guys. And so, you know, most people who are looking for coaches at this time would understand that, what that means. And, you know, we got a lot of guys who want to be here, so I don't expect any changes or any of that to come up, but it's part of the profession.
Front row left, Doug.
The recruiting question you're getting for, when maybe what you're doing recruiting-wise, like next week, is somewhat limited because, hey, like, we might be trying to win a national championship, isn't that a good pitch, too? Like, hey, if we're not seeing you as much, we're kind of busy doing this thing. How much does winning sell in recruiting?
No, I think it's huge. Like, 'cause this week, everybody's on the road. We're not. And even talking to recruits this week and last night, you know, I said, you know, I apologize, we're not going to be able to see you this week. And almost everyone to a person said, no, it's a good problem to have, coach. We're glad you're playing in that championship game. We get it. And that's why you put so much work into recruiting leading up to this point. You know, we recruit these kids so early on that the relationships are there. And then we'll do everything we can next week to get out there and hustle around and see these guys. But yeah, I mean, certainly being in this spot is huge credibility in recruiting.
What you guys did against Michigan the past 2 years, what you did offensively last year, what you're doing offensively this year. We know the defensive improvement is such a big part of why this team is so good. But with what you've done offensively since you've been here, do you have to do that to be great in college football now? The pressure that your offense can put on opponents, we got to find a way to score with these guys somehow, not just to be good on offense, but to be a team that has a chance to win it all, must you be great and dynamic and high-flying in offense these days?
Well, I think it definitely helps. I think it's important when you start playing in games like this to play complementary football. And I think if you look back at this game, there were times where, you know, early on, you know, they were moving the ball on us pretty good, but we were going shot for shot. And then, you know, they held them to a field goal. They got a turnover in the red zone. We're scoring. And then and then we go up a couple scores, they have to start throwing it more, and now it's advantage us. And there wasn't the 50-50 mix. And I think when you play complementary football like that, it really helps. You know, if you're dominant on one side of the ball, you know, you set yourself up, you know, for getting beat if you're not on both sides of the ball. But, you know, if you want to, you know, make a run at this thing, like you said, you have to be great. And that's the focus. So it's only good if you continue to do it week in and week out. So, you know, you come out and lay an egg, then you put yourself at risk. So I think not only on offense, but it's important to be in all three phases.
And I know you're not able to reflect on stuff while you're in the heart of it, but when you see your players and maybe your players with their families, like, for instance, when they're coming out, you guys are coming out of the stadium in Michigan on Saturday and everybody's there with their parents, and can you appreciate that like, when this is like living history of Ohio State right now, this era of Ohio State football and beating Michigan like this and what you guys are doing, what do you think when you see those players and those families being part of this Ohio State era?
That's hard to explain. And when I see it, it's as good of a feeling as you could possibly have as a person. And to think about the time that we put into this thing to see that, and then quickly to think about what this means in the history and tradition of this game, and look at really what's gone on the last couple years in this game, it's very, very humbling. Again, now is not the time to think about that. And the minute I start thinking about that, we go right back to focusing on what's going on right now. And I think there's time to sit back on that. But when you look at what's been done in the past and what's been done this past year and the year before in that game, it's very humbling.
And right behind us, Bill.
Right. You said on the conference call you were on Sunday about your three interior offensive linemen, you thought those three guys were maybe the best in the country. I know you like all five of your guys, but about those three in particular, Josh, Jonah, and Wyatt, what makes you say something like that?
Well, I just think that they're, first off, their approach to the game is off the charts. They understand stuff. They communicate. They're tough. They're good in the run game. They're good in the pass game. They finish guys. If you follow them around during the game, you know, it's just amazing the stuff that they do and the finishes and the knockdowns that they get during the game. And, you know, they're the tip of the spear in our offense. And everything goes through those guys, and their approach has been off the charts.
Run game diversity, having a lot of different stuff in there. How much does the skill set, maybe it's a silly question, the skill set of your offensive line impact that? And when you have three interior guys who appear to be very athletic on top of all the other things you just mentioned, how much does that do for your offense?
No, it's huge. It's huge because it allows you to do so many things. Their ability, you know, a lot of those guys last year spent a lot of time in pass protection, you know, because that's what we did last year, really. And then now to see the transition into the run game and the ability to do both, that goes to speak to, you know, Coach Studd and what they're doing in that offensive line room.
Second row middle, Bruce.
Justin's been hurt in the last two games. Wisconsin did not score on you in the first half time, first time you played. Did you give any thought to, or would you give any thought to, not starting him, giving him time to fully heal, seeing where you are at halftime, or sitting him the whole game?
But no, not at all. No, no, he'll be playing, and we'll use him all 60 minutes.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to know on Paul Christ, I know you watch film, you're watching defenses, but there's no defense out there unless there's an offense. So do you gather enough scouting defenses watching Wisconsin that I'd say you're an aggressive play caller and it kind of fits your personality, or you always talk about toughness and things like that. I see evidence of how you call plays and the kind of person you appear to be to us. Do you see evidence of him, you know, a play caller personality or anything there, admiration, or what do you see in his style of play calling from the times you run across what they do?
Yeah, I think, again, I got a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Chris and how he does things. He has a system, and he allows his kids to play in that system. He's got enough wrinkles to keep you off balance. But what he does, they're just very fundamentally sound. It's just hard to find an inch on them because, you know, everything they do is so sound. You know, they're not going to run bad plays into bad looks. They're not going to just, you know, give you the ball and turn it over. They're you know, he's been like that ever since he started coaching, and that's why they've been so successful. And you know, it's he and that whole coaching staff. You know, he put together a great staff there, and in all three phases, they do an excellent job.
Last thing here, in recent weeks, you've mentioned one time in here, and then Sunday on your conference call, you mentioned where you guys were picked preseason, and it kind of frosted you where you were picked. I wonder why. Or is it a purposeful mentioning of that at this point in time that you feel like there's a usefulness in it from a motivational standpoint? Like maybe it's just it ticked you off, people didn't have faith in you? Or why is it that you seem to be emphasizing that more now?
Well, I think the only thing that catches me sometimes is that, you know, early in the preseason and coming into the season, you know, they didn't think much of us. And then, you know, we do what we're doing now, and, you know, a lot of people don't give these kids enough credit, in my opinion. And a lot of people just say, well, they're just very talented. Well, if we're that talented, then why don't you pick us that way early in the season? You know, these kids deserve, in my opinion, a lot of credit for what they've done this season. And, you know, you retooled a whole defense, you retooled an offensive line, you had a quarterback who had never had a college start walking into the season, and right now we're undefeated going to play for the whole thing. And I think these kids deserve that. And, you know, when I hear, you know, people say, well, they're just talented. No, they're not just talented. This is a team with great leaders, great toughness, great chemistry, the way that they're playing with disciplined football. There's so much that goes into that, and they've worked really hard to have this opportunity. I think they deserve the credit.
You take the talent label as kind of an insult.
A little bit, yeah. When I hear that, you know, I just think it's the same talent that was here early in the season, and they had us ranked low. So what's the difference now? But we do have a lot of talent, and you know, we have some great players on the team, and they deserve the credit that's coming their way.
Front row right, awesome. Oh, I'm sorry.
Cool.
Front row right.
I'll take it.
It's okay. You got us mixed up. Is part of that too, though? Y'all had a first-time full-time head coach. As a lot of people had questions about, what have you proven yourself to this point, Ryan? I mean, because that's part and parcel to what you're talking about.
I don't know about that. It's about the players and his coaching staff, really. I mean, they're the ones who do it all, and it's all about the players. And I do think our coaching staff has done a good job, you know, on defense, putting in the new system. We had some new pieces to this thing, and you know, I think the offensive staff has done a good job adapting to a new group and taking on a new identity. I think Matt Barnes has done an excellent job in special teams, but most importantly, it's the leaders, because any great team I've been on, it's player driven. And so, you know, whether it's the seniors or guys who have been in the program for 3 and 4 years, their approach and maturity day in and day out has been the difference.
You know, two other quickies. You were talking about that feeling of relief on Saturday when that game was done and watching the players and their joy. When did it snap into you that there's another huge game to play here now? And are you kind of feeling the way, taking your feelings the way you've adjusted and trying to portray that to the players? Because, you know, y'all are kind of part and parcel to the whole thing.
Well, that happened when we looked coming off the bye week. You know, we said we had the Maryland Rutgers game, and then we knew we had this run right here. And so we talked about it coming off of that bye week. And when we took that picture, we said, you know, if you beat Penn State, you're going to go play for the Big Ten championship. And then there's a rivalry game. And so I think they have a bigger picture of that and perspective of what's going on. And they knew it was going to be three tough, emotional, hard games in a row. And so we're in it. So they knew what to expect. But now that we're in it, it's just the focus on the game right now. So I think they've had some awareness of it, and we'll have a good week of practice.
Yeah, you know, Archie Griffin was on my podcast this week, but he talked about this, the focus of this team from week to week. I'm not promoting that, but I'm just saying. The focus of this team from week to week has been remarkable. How has it been to you from your vantage point? When did you become aware that this team could do that?
I think it was gradually over time. I think you know, that trip to Nebraska was a big challenge for us, just going on the road and kind of seeing where we're at. And then we kind of hit adversity in the Wisconsin game the first time, and then we started to build and build. And, you know, the Michigan State game wasn't perfect, but we kind of worked through that. And then the Penn State game was really the big first hard spot we were in, where we lost the momentum. We had to get it back, top 10, you know, win there. And then I think, you know, going into the rivalry game, you know, playing the way we did, it's just kind of been a gradual. I can't say it's been one moment, but as time's gone on, I think we felt more and more confident in who we are.
Sixth row right, Jeremy.
Ryan, obviously what Ari said earlier makes sense. Having the class almost full was relatively stress-free for the next 2 weeks in your group. But with all the coaching changes happening around the country, is there any sense of, in the future, like maybe saying, hey, maybe let's save a few spots towards the end just in case there's guys that maybe re-pop or reopen up on the trail? Like, how do you handle that moving forward?
No, I don't think it changes anything. You know, I think we rank our guys the best we can, and then we find out who want to be Buckeyes too. That's a huge part of this thing. And so even if we have somebody maybe ranked a little higher than another person, if one of them wants to be a Buckeye and wants to play in that rivalry game, wants to play in the horseshoe, that matters to us. So we take all those things into consideration, and we try to be as aggressive as we can on the recruiting trail. You know, there are times where we leave spots open just in case to see what happens, to your point. But, you know, we were kind of hot this year, and a lot of guys were jumping on board, and we felt great with the guys that we have.
How much has the transfer portal and all that stuff changed that approach? I mean, is there a sense of, in the future, leaving one or two extra spots maybe than you want to?
It has changed things for sure, and there's definitely wiggle room in there, and you have to try to forecast the best you can. I know that's you know, a tough thing, but it's just the way it is nowadays, and we certainly you know, don't want to see anybody leave, and I think we've built a culture here where nobody would want to leave, but we always have to forecast, yeah.
For just a few more questions. Front row, middle. Joey?
Ryan, your guys' Twitter account this morning had like a graphic with JK, Chase, Justin, like a Heisman Trophy promotional thing. In the old days, they used to run these elaborate Heisman campaigns. Like Orlando Pace had the pancake sack here. As a head coach, what's your view on just how to promote guys for award? What's appropriate? How much do you push guys for awards, campaign, Heisman campaigns, that sort of thing?
Well, I think this year's been unique for a lot of reasons, and I think when you're at Ohio State and you're such a high-profile place, you know, it kind of speaks for itself. I don't think you have to go out there and do a lot of campaigning when you're playing in a rivalry game with, you know, tens of millions of people watching. You know, you get the chance to, you know, have an unbelievable platform here. But I think the thing for these guys is because of the way the season's played out, maybe they haven't had as many reps or opportunities as some of the other guys in the country, but their efficiency when they've been on the field, to me, has been the best in the country. You know, I think Joe and Jalen Hurts and those guys have had unbelievable years. I'm not taking away anything they're done because those guys are playing tremendously, but I just think when you think of J.K., Justin, and Chase and all their own moments have had Heisman moments, and they deserve to go to New York.
Far left, Matt?
In addition, you know, like Tim was asking about the emotional toll these last 3 weeks, physically too. You know, Justin's gotten banged up, secondary and stuff like that. How do you balance preparing for this game and getting the work done you need to versus making sure everybody is as fresh as they can be and healthy? How do you manage it in practice this week to have them ready for Saturday?
I think when you're going into this point of the season, you're into December, you got a good idea where guys are at, so I think they have to learn to practice and be smart and limit reps and do a good job mentally in a week like this, because I think being fresh is critical. So, you know, the maturity of our team has to show up in a week like this, and you have to be smart. You can't, like you said, you can't just treat it like it was week three of the season where you're an inside drill just banging the heck out of each other at this point of the year. So it's a lot more mental, and I think that's important to be fresh.
And how much do you value, I mean, you're playing for a championship this week. It's the first thing you can actually win is this year. I know there's much bigger goals. The value of a conference championship to you and to this program.
Yeah, huge. I mean, to win this conference is a huge deal, and I know it's been done before, but we don't take any of that stuff for granted for a second. I mean, there's great teams, great coaches, and it's really hard to do, and so that's one of our goals. I mean, the first goal, as we all know, is to win the rivalry game, but this is a huge goal of ours as well. And if we win the Big Ten championship, we know that a lot of things have gone well, and we've won a lot of big games, and so this is certainly a huge goal for us.
And final questions, front row left, Nathan.
I think it's kind of another risk management question, but you know, you've talked about Justin's toughness and you've gotten questions about how you kind of approach play calling with that. But at the same time, do you talk to him at all about how he's approaching playing right now, or are the stakes so high right now that you have to just trust the brace and turn it loose?
Yeah, we talk, and he gives me good feedback, and we go back and forth about a lot of things like that. Yeah, I think we have a good relationship and have created a tremendous amount of trust between the two of us to, you know, figure out what's right and, like you said, you know, what the plan is for that week.
Last week, were there, besides him getting medically cleared, if that was even an issue, did you need to see specific things from him during the week to know what he could do on Saturday, or how does that work?
Yeah. I mean, we just kind of get an idea, like, hey, he's maybe a little banged up, but he's feeling good, so, you know, he's full go, and then we kind of go from there.